Sarah Smith. I am the Postdoc Affairs Program Administrator at Virginia Tech.
This is Vanderbilt University's Beyond the Lab, a series now in our seventh season, hosted by the Office of Career Development Aspire program within Biomedical Research Education and Training in the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. This episode is one of many alumni interviews we have conducted as we learn about biomedical science PhD careers. Explore more episodes at the Vanderbilt Aspire website or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today we interview Dr. Chris Smith, who works in an office like our office, only in a different university. We are excited to hear more about his non-tenure track academic work. We are the Aspire program, and these are our alumni. We hope you enjoy the show. To get started by you telling me like what you did when you were a postdoc here, but then maybe what would be helpful is for me to know like you went to graduate school where and then you came over to Vanderbilt.
Sure. So I got my PhD in neurobiology, so neuroscience, at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I finished that up in defended in spring 2014 and then stayed on for a few months before starting as a postdoc in the Department of Psychology at Vanderbilt in August of 2014.
Okay, what did you work on here?
So I worked with David Zald, who's since moved to a new institution, but we were looking at the dopamine system in human participants and how that related to a variety of different behaviors like impulsivity, risk of drug addiction, and substance abuse. And that was kind of an extension of work I had done at UNC Chapel Hill, but kind of moving more into directly measuring the dopamine system with PET imaging, which is positron emission tomography. So those scanners are in buildings over at the med school. So I didn't go there often. I was mostly analyzing the data, but that's where the data collection happened. So
okay, so tell me about sort of the process of your like post Vanderbilt time and how you move to the next steps.
Sure. So I mean, I guess I can maybe go back to my experience as a postdoc and my involvement slow involvement in the Postdoc Association at Vanderbilt, which I do think kind of led me on this path. So as I said, I arrived at Vanderbilt in August of 2014. I was in the psychology department, and as Kate, the Brett office is over in the med school. And at that time, I think it was maybe hard for postdocs in arts and sciences to know about Brett resources or about postdoc services and support in the med school. So for that first year, I was, doing my research and mentoring undergrads and, doing the postdoc thing and not really maybe as plugged in or aware of resources and programming happening in the med school. But then, around 2015, I had gotten more plugged into what you all were doing in Brett and your programming, and met you and Ashley Brady and Kim Petrie, and later Angela Zito, and first just attended that programming and then ultimately, volunteered to help plan some of the Brett career symposiums, I think in 2017 and 2018.
Yeah.
And also similar, kind of parallel to that, got more involved in the Postdoc Association. So I think, a lot of the people involved in the leadership were in the med school originally, and, went to some meetings in probably 2015 just to kind of learn more about, what they were doing to support postdocs and sort of different aspects of the postdoc experience at Vanderbilt. And also at this time, this may be more detailed than you need, but
no, go for it.
I know Vanderbilt was sort of restructuring, where postdoc support lived. And I think around the fall of 2016, sort of centralized the postdoc office over in the grad school where it would be potentially easier to get information and resources to all postdocs across campus. So, you know, going back to 2014 when I started, you know, now there's an office that probably would have like sent something to a psychology postdoc about resources, you know, early on. Yeah. So kind of speaks to maybe the importance of like communication and making sure postdocs are aware of like resources on campus.
Yeah.
And similarly, I got more involved in leadership roles in the Postdoc Association at Vanderbilt. So in 2017, I think, helped plan the postdoc symposium, and then also in 2018, so our sort of research symposium for postdocs at Vanderbilt. And also during that time, took on progressive leadership responsibilities. That wasn't maybe something I thought I wanted to do, or maybe had the personality to do, but started out doing the treasurer role, which is relatively low lift. Like, I believe that's like behind the scenes role. And then after that year, got kind of convinced or encouraged to kind of be our, I think we had called it junior co-chair. So like vice president of the Postdoc Association. So not like the leader, but like second in command and helping kind of, you know, think through programming and resources for postdocs and different things we could do to build community and help postdocs in their career and professional development. So, you know, that involved working with Brett, but also the new centralized postdoc office on different programs and events, which, you know, ran the gamut from the Postdoc Appreciation Week picnics that would happen at the Dragon Park and other different events kind of throughout the year. So all that, I think, kind of got me more aware of like what postdoc affairs is and, you know, what sort of the postdoc experience looks like beyond just my own experience. So how heterogeneous it can look depending on one's background. So, you know, I learned a lot about from just being involved in the Postdoc Association, you know, the experiences of international postdocs and some of the challenges that go with, you know, visa sponsorship and things of that nature. And also just how postdocs are at very different parts of, you know, trajectories in their lives. So some of them are, you know, single, some have family, some have, you know, kids. And yeah. So kind of different needs, I guess, for this population.
Right.
And then, you know, being involved with you all planning, you know, some of the Brett events, kind of seeing the value of that type of programming, like having experienced it, but then also helping to like work with you all to like put on events that I think really help grad students and postdocs sort of expand their, I guess, horizons or think beyond just what they think they can do to kind of learn about, you know, careers beyond maybe the typical tenure track faculty position. So I think all those experiences helped me realize the importance of like the career and professional development work and sort of the challenges and value of better supporting postdocs, and kind of led me to where I am now. We go more into that too, because that's kind of also an interesting story, kind of how I got into the postdoc affairs space. So
yeah. So I specifically remember sitting at a dinner at Kathy's house with you saying, have you thought about doing this? And so I think you had said at the time, like, I have been thinking of it and this is, you know, where I'm going. So yeah, tell me that story.
Yeah. So I think it was either you or maybe Ashley, someone forwarded me a job ad and was like, have you thought about this as a career? And I guess, you know, from my experiences, you know, doing, you know, the work in the spaces that ultimately kind of someone who works in postdoc affairs, you know, operates in, I guess I had sort of at least some knowledge of what that would be, but it didn't mean I had like done it really, like actually been, you know, someone who, you know, worked full time supporting postdocs. But I mean, it intrigued me. And I also think, you know, after I read the job ad, so it was actually my first position after Vanderbilt, the job ad you all sent me was the job that I got. So yes. It was running the postdoc office at North Carolina State University. So reading that job ad, I kind of could see how a lot of those past experiences could be relevant for it, like developing programming and career professional development and sort of building a community and supporting the postdocs at NC State. And also, you know, doing some more self-reflection, I realized what I've always liked about being sort of in like an academic setting was sort of the mentorship. Like I really enjoyed like mentoring undergrads and kind of helping people in the research group sort of develop and grow, but also kind of move on to the next step. And so I felt like, you know, working in this space, you know, I can mentor might be a strong word, but I could support people as they develop and kind of grow toward their next thing. And I think that's really rewarding and kind of fits with the types of activities that, you know, energize me. So I think that was a big piece. And then, you know, another big piece was maybe some deeper reflection on, did I really want to run a research group and be a, you know, faculty member at a research intensive institution? I did apply to those positions and I did have a, you know, on-site faculty interview and, you know, all the things, but I think deep down wasn't really sure if that's what I wanted for a variety of reasons. And so, you know, I was applying to faculty positions. I applied to that NC State position. I applied to a few other positions kind of in that space of like career and professional development. And then I had to make a choice because then things started happening and, you know, had an interview and then an offer at NC State. And that's where I had to kind of decide, you know, was I going to commit to this path? Ultimately did, you know, after talking with Ashley Brady and Irene McKurgan, who was director of the postdoc office in the grad school at the time, just kind of, you know, going through sort of the pros and cons of, you know, making this pivot and ended up going down that road. And again, I can talk more about that if you want, but that's sort of the transition story at a high level. So,
tell me then, so about this first job, what you did, and like, then tell me about the job that you have now and sort of what are the things you do during the day? Like, what do you do? You know, meet whatever, tell me more.
So what I've learned working in the space and also, you know, talking with colleagues who work in the postdoc affairs space is that it's a very multifaceted role. And there's a lot of variability across institutions as to what you do when you're kind of working in postdoc affairs. So it can range from sort of human resources support, so sort of reviewing of hiring actions and making sure essentially, hopefully this doesn't come across bad, but making sure, you know, faculty aren't abusing the postdoc job classification. So is this person like actually in a training position? Are they within so many years of their PhD? Like, are they kind of, should they be a postdoc, right? Should they be hired as a postdoc essentially? And not, you know, in another type of researcher role. So, in several institutions, the postdoc office is responsible for like that oversight of HR. So at NC State, I was the HR like oversight person. So I reviewed every hire action and every candidate that, you know, ultimately was put forward to be hired as a postdoc. And also review job descriptions that would be posted, you know, on our jobs board to, again, just make sure they sort of emphasize that this is a postdoc position, which in a perfect world involves some training and professional development and not just doing the research. So that's can be a big piece of the role depending on, you know, how it's structured. So at NC State, that was probably a quarter to a third of my job was just HR oversight, which you had other pieces too, but like broadly, you know, human resource oversight. And then another big piece in working in this space, because typically you're a one person show, you're like the person doing postdoc support at your institution. So another big piece of it is like communication. So getting information of events and opportunities to postdocs. So that could include even going back to like a welcome experience. So whether that's like a welcome letter, a welcome email, an orientation that might, you know, provide some overview of resources and programming for postdocs. So at NC State, we sent welcome messages to all of our new postdocs. So I would pull, you know, HR reports every couple of weeks and send those welcome messages out. We also would do new postdoc orientation in collaboration with human resources. So it was kind of a benefit slash postdoc resources orientation. So I would speak for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes at that orientation. And And then, you know, beyond the welcome experience would be, you know, monthly or so kind of events and opportunities emails where we would send out different programming and resources to our postdocs so that they were aware of, you know, what was happening on campus or what was happening online or what we were doing in that case in the graduate school, because that's where I reported into at NC State. So that communications is a big piece. And then I would say, you know, another big piece is sort of programming, which can look all sorts of ways. It might be career and professional development programming. So programming on the job search or putting together panels on different topics. So it could be, you know, panels of new faculty about, you know, landing a faculty position, or it could be panels of people who've recently got, you know, an NIH career transition award to talk about, you know, how do you write those types of grants. Or it could be a panel on, you know, careers outside the tenure track, those types of things. So sort of more career focused events. And then, you know, the other piece that I think, you know, is important is, you know, building that community of support. So those are kind of like the social events. So again, those can run the gamut from picnics or cookouts to different excursions that, you know, you might not be fully running, but you're kind of helping promote and maybe working with the postdoc association at the institution to plan those and think through the logistics. So that's sort of like events, career, yeah, and social. And then, you know, the other piece is kind of one-on-one meetings with postdocs about their careers or about other things. Hopefully not too many of the other things, but sometimes there are conversations around, you know, challenges they're having and, you know, how, yeah, to connect them to resources. So I guess that it's very multifaceted for sure. And I think, you know, one maybe benefit of it being a one-person show is often there's a lot of flexibility in what you do, like where you focus your efforts. So if you really like the communication piece, you know, you maybe you do more of that. Or if you really, you know, enjoy the programmatic piece, maybe you focus more on that. So it can really vary in terms of sort of your own interest and personality. And then also kind of just what the institution is maybe pushing for in terms of postdoc support. So that's kind of broadly what often happens in these roles. And in my position at Virginia Tech now, I do very little HR. So there's a team in our research office that does the HR oversight. So I don't do human resources really at all now. It's okay, much good. More programming. And I guess I would even say in this role, it's kind of a brand building exercise. So it's sort of helping increase visibility of the postdoc training experience at Virginia Tech, helping with recruitment, which is its own kind of interesting thing. But part of that is sort of brand building and making sure faculty are aware of resources so they can promote them to potential candidates. And I also manage a postdoc fellowship program here. So that's a recruitment tool, a brand building tool, and there's some logistics on the back end that go with that in terms of identifying faculty reviewers and collating materials and sending those out and kind of collecting and summarizing the reviewer data for ultimately selecting who we fund. So I still do programming here, career and professional development. I support our postdoc association with the social activities. And again, kind of focus maybe more on, like, I guess you'd call it marketing and communications and recruitment here, and less on HR. So,
that's a lot. So you're doing a lot of, there's a lot of administrative tasks, but there's also some advocacy there. And mm-hmm. then there's also adapting to your population and working with administration with, like, having good ideas and, you know, working with faculty. I know this answer, but knowing you and your skills, why are you a good fit for this role? Like, why is this appealing to you with your interests, but also, like, you know, you are good at this job because of your strengths. Like, tell me a little more about that.
Yeah. So, I think I'm pretty data driven and strategic and analytical. So a lot of what I've been trying to do at both places, so at NC State and Virginia Tech. So I guess I'll take a step back. Like, at NC State, that office had been around and they had sort of a bit of an infrastructure already in terms of, like, an exit survey and different ways to kind of collect data But to your point, a lot of times, again, we kind of mentioned the one person show, postdoc support is, in my opinion, maybe under resourced at most institutions. So to your point around sort of building advocacy for like postdocs in general, but also like support for postdocs, it often requires, you know, data or other ways to kind of show either the needs or the impact or whatever. So at NC State, they had an exit survey that I inherited, and we kind of went a step further and decided it was really important, or I thought it would be really important to run, you know, annual climate surveys so we can kind of understand sort of the current state of postdocs that are there, because obviously we care about outcomes and where they go afterwards and about their experience after the fact, but that's kind of hard to utilize to support people when they're already gone. It helps the people who are coming. So I had done some benchmarking at other with other institutions to see, you know, what kind of data was collected for like a postdoc climate survey. And we went through, you know, the process of getting, you know, an IRB review in case we ever wanted to publish on it. And it was kind of a wide ranging survey, but it really helped us kind of get a sense of the pulse of the population. So like, where were their needs? Were needs different depending on either demographic aspects of the postdocs, or maybe even like where they reported or kind of were based at the institution? Because that a lot of institutions, there may be support happening like in the department or the college or school, depending on how the institution's structured, but you may not know about it as the postdoc office, because I mean, it's just happening. And so part of it was to see, you know, maybe is the experience look different in different units? And then is there something we could like draw from that? So whether we would like go back out and reach out to the department head or the college dean or associate dean to figure out like, you know, what are they doing for postdocs? And maybe we'd have some interesting things we could like amplify across campus. We never got that far, but that was sort of the intent of it. And so it does help, I think, you know, get a sense of where you should be devoting efforts, right? So maybe we need more programming in a certain area because our climate survey suggests, you know, postdocs feel less confident in like this skill set or this area. And then also, you know, helping potentially leadership see the need for, you know, more support beyond just career support, right? So whether that's like mental health and well-being or childcare support or improvements in benefits, that's a whole topic we could get into if you want. But having the data is important. So to go back to your first sort of question or point, yes, I think like I've being sort of an analytical data driven person, like I enjoy that aspect of collecting the data and, you know, analyzing it and thinking about like how we can kind of put that in front of the right people to advocate for change. And ultimately, you know, hopefully show impact. So, you know, my hope was, and still is, but, you know, it's early days in this new role. And I don't think I was at NC State long enough for it to come all the way to fruition, was to hopefully see change over time. So if we're running this climate survey every year and, you know, we're doing new things, you know, hopefully we can start to see, you know, the impact of that in the data and know that what we're doing is having an impact. And that essentially we're making, you know, a good use of resources, you know, on what we focus on in terms of programming and support. So,
thinking through, you know, your role and sort of your progression, if someone were to, want to pursue, you know, working in the academic space, but not on the tenure track and working with, you know, trainees, what would you recommend they do while they're at, you know, while they're in training, you know, or sort of gathering the information to do it, but also like being equipped to do it as well? What are some things you would recommend?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, getting involved in either, you know, your grad student association or grad student senate, if you're a grad student, or your postdoc association, if you're a postdoc, you know, helps you, you know, learn how to work with others toward a common goal. So that might be, again, just putting on, you know, social programming. It might be putting on career and professional development program, but I think it shows like that you're interested in supporting like that constituency through your efforts in those organizations. And like I said, I think, you know, I learned a lot about, you know, different people's experiences, because your experience as a grad student or postdoc could look very different than others. And so even just, you know, being in community with, you know, your peers, you kind of get a sense of like maybe other aspects of the experience that can either, you know, that are either, you know, areas for improvement or areas for like, I don't know, modeling of like good actions and behaviors. So I think that's really important. Certainly if you can get involved in like planning, you know, bigger events, I think that's always great. So whether that's, you know, helping, you know, if you're at Vanderbilt, like helping the prep team with the career symposium, or if you're, you know, in a postdoc association, maybe helping plan a symposium or some other event, I think that can be, you know, helpful to show, that, you're producing content or, you know, helping to lead program development, which would be important in these types of roles. And then I think there are opportunities to get involved in different, you know, national organizations to learn more about the spaces and get involved as a volunteer to help either learn more about, you know, the area, or also to start to, you know, give back or build out programming or resources for either grad students or postdocs. So I got involved in the National Postdoc Association as a postdoc, writing for the postdoc initially. So that's like the NPA's online newsletter. That was kind of more my speed. It was like behind the scenes, and you just got to, you know, talk to people about either their programming or spotlight individuals who were selected for either their mentor award or their distinguished service award they do every year. Yeah. And that helped me kind of learn more again about what other people were doing, but also to meet people who kind of work in the space and hear more about programming and different initiatives that, you know, were happening, because I was writing them up, but I was also learning at the same time. Yeah. And there are a lot of other ways to get involved in the NPA. So the National Postdoc Association, there's a resource development committee. So if you're interested in like, either building resources for postdocs or people who support postdocs, or helping promote current NPA resources, like that's a great committee to get involved in. There's also a committee focused on, you know, planning the annual conference. So that's, you know, very deadline driven kind of group, but it really helps you kind of learn how to work with others toward a common goal, and plan an event that draws, you know, 300 or 400 people every year. And then there's also an advocacy committee, so you can get involved in different efforts to, you know, improve the postdoc experience in different ways that the NPA is working on. And so that's the NPA. And then another group that I learned about, again, from the prep team, and a group that I think is becoming more open to trainees joining, is the Graduate Career Consortium. So the GCC is an organization mostly of professionals who work in grad and postdoc career and professional development, but they do have a trainee membership. So if a grad student or postdoc is interested in learning more about the space of like working in grad and postdoc career development, they could join GCC as a trainee member. I think it's $50 now for an annual trainee membership. So don't quote me on that, but it's, you know, reasonable. And that gives you access to, you know, the network of other professionals, but also to all the different programming the GCC puts on around like working in this space. So like, what are best practices and tracking outcomes, or program evaluation. You can also leverage some GCC resources to even like sort of model a program that's already been created, you know, at your institution. And so I think if you're really, really proactive grad student or postdoc, maybe you like, you know, bring that to your institution and say like, it's an example of what happened, you know, at another institution, and we'd like to try to put it on. And I think, you know, that'd be kind of a way where you don't have to start from scratch, but you're kind of leveraging the community programming and resources through the GCC.
Yeah.
And then the GCC also has a jobs board, which is a great way to find out about opportunities in this space. And I don't know if that's where you all got the NC State job ad from or not, but I know you got it through one of your networks. But I know I'm on that GCC job feed, and yeah, like that's where I see most of the positions, and I often point people to those if they're interested in working in the space. So
yeah, so you kind of touched on this, because I think you're pretty good at this. I've seen you at national conferences, so I know you're good at this. But tell me about your networking strategy and then sort of your personal philosophy on it, and how even now, when you're not necessarily looking for a job, you're in a job that you enjoy. How do you network, and like, what do you do to maintain those professional relationships? You know, your Chris Smith strategy on networking.
That's a good question. I mean, I think it helps if you get involved in an organization before you go to the conference, because now you've like got people like that you already know, right? From those like meetings of, you know, X committee or Y committee. So I think that makes it less intimidating because you've like already like met people, and, you know, Zoom makes it easy to like see people before you see them. Sometimes they don't look maybe exactly like how you pictured them on Zoom, but at least it's like close enough to like know like, oh, that's Kate, or oh, that's Ashley. Yeah. So I think that could be really helpful to make it less scary, for sure. I think especially at like a scientific meeting, it's really easy, I think, to stay with your people. So like if your research group or lab is all gone, you know, together to that meeting, to like stay with the people you know, because that's less scary than meeting people you don't know. So like, I totally get that. But obviously it doesn't help you build your network. So even if it's just at a scientific conference, you know, going to a couple posters, you know, and just talking with people, maybe not just about the science, but about other things. That's kind of a way to like start making some connections, and it's not too intimidating because they're already there, you know, ready to engage with you because that's why they're there. And it's not like a networking event per se. And I've told a lot of grad students, that's a great way to learn more about like environments to do a postdoc in. It's like at the poster session to talk with current postdocs or even grad students, you know, not just about the science, but about like how they like working at that institution, you know, with that faculty member. So I think the scientific meetings are underrated and the poster sessions are underrated to sort of make connections for your next step. So I think those are the big pieces that I would say. I mean, again, certainly in my case, writing for the postdoc, it helped me meet people, right? Mm-hmm. So like at the conference, like they were honoring those awardees, and like we set aside time to like, you know, me to basically do a mini interview with them. So like I was naturally meeting people as part of that duty, right? So I do the outreach, and it's like, you know, I'm going to be there, and, you know, I'm supposed to, you know, write this article on you. So let's meet up. So again,
there's
you're
a purpose.
You're kind of making it less awkward because it's not just like a random meetup. Not there's anything wrong with the random meetups too, but I think if you can build structure around it, it might make it a little less scary if you're an introvert or just a little more hesitant about that organic small talk and like how you sort of, you know, initiate a conversation. So I really, you know, like that. And then, you know, at these conferences that aren't scientific, you know, they kind of have a different flavor anyway, right? So like at an MPA conference or GCC conference, those sessions, those poster sessions and other sessions are really focused on, you know, programming and resources. And so if you're naturally interested in that, you know, it's kind of a natural topic to talk about with the people, you know, in the workshop or in that session or at that poster. So I think kind of naturally you learn more about the space and you make connections because that's kind of what the spirit of those meetings are, as opposed to maybe at a scientific meeting where it can be more about like the research and less about like the career. But you could do that. You could talk about career, you know, at a scientific meeting, but I don't know if that's, you know, typically how those interactions go. So,
Yeah. Okay. So you've given us some pretty good stuff. Tell me, this is what we've been sort of closing out all of the episodes for season 7, our like fun question. Tell me, if you were not in this position or not in this kind of industry, this industry didn't exist or this career sector didn't exist, what job would you have? What would you pursue if you couldn't be a postdoc affairs advocate at a university? What would it be?
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought a lot about science writing or medical writing when I was at Vanderbilt, and I actually got involved in the American Medical Writers Association's North Carolina or Carolinas chapter when I was at NC State. So So I learned more about that space. I mean, I think the more I learned about it, the more I realized, like, I don't know whether it would be, I don't think I would have wanted to be like a regulatory medical writer, because that's very formulaic and not very creative. But I think, you know, there are interesting areas of like medical communications where there's a little more flexibility and like where you're developing, you know, content, you know, around either devices or drugs. That, you know, maybe has a little bit more creativity involved. So I think, you know, we're being practical gate, something like that. So like medical communications, like I've always enjoyed writing. I mean, again, I kind of started, you know, my MPA journey working on the postdoctorate, and, you know, I still have my own personal blog where I write, because I find that one to be, you know, helpful for me, but also two, to just kind of keep building a portfolio. Again, not to say I'm going anywhere, but like if you ever, you know, needed to point people to writing samples, like you've been writing and you can write on different topics. And that's, I think, you know, can be helpful to kind of just, you know, have that if you're interested in that career. But, you know, that is a career, I think it's hard to break into the medical writing space. And a lot of people do kind of start out, you know, doing more again, like the medical communications, and then kind of move into those more regulatory spaces, which are maybe more lucrative, but also maybe more, I don't know what the word is, you know, formulaic. And so I think that would be like the practical choice. The thing that, you know, we've been doing here with our postdocs is kind of the design your life stuff, where you kind of make your three, the three plans. So, you know, one's like the practical plan, like you said, like what if your job is fear? Then one's like the wild card, like if money was no object and whatever. So, you know, I thought more about that. And I feel like, you know, I think like being a tour guide would be kind of cool. Like you get to like show people around and tell people cool information. And so I feel like it's still kind of like helping people and the communication, which I do, but in a different kind of domain. So I think that would be, again, the wild card. And you can get paid to do that, but, you know, I don't know like what you can get paid to do that. So
you're traveling and you know, you're chatting with people. That's a nice perk to that job.
So those would probably be it. But I think, you know, one maybe talks more about communications, which, you know, I've enjoyed, you know, doing. And then the others maybe more on the like helping people and sharing knowledge and information, which again, I think is kind of core to what I do now. I mean, there's a lot beyond that, but that's kind of core of like what I'm doing. And probably core to like what I find most fulfilling, because, you know, there's so many resources and information out there for grad students and postdocs to, you know, help them kind of take charge of their career. But I think it can be really overwhelming. And so part of, you know, I feel like my job is trying to like promote good resources to hopefully, you know, put a few in front of people that they can really engage with and make it a little less intimidating to go out and try to find those resources. So yeah, I think it's still kind of core to like who I am and what I do, but it would have a different, I guess, you know, environment where you'd be operating in. So
yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks for chatting with us. We always love to see you, and we feel a little responsible for your success. Not all of it; it was all you, but you know, we at least got you in the right direction.
What if you forwarded the job ad? So that's really important. and Kim Petrie suggested I join, you know, the Grad Career Consortium, and and you know, pushed me to get more involved in that organization. And I think, you know, getting involved in organizations, you know, even beyond just volunteering, but like, you know, taking all leadership positions when you're ready, or maybe not even when you're ready, but like, you know, maybe when you're more settled, you know, helps you build other skills and build, you know, additional networks, which can only be helpful down the line. Cause you know, when you get to these points where, especially as a grad student or postdoc, you know, and you're trying to, you know, pivot, maybe not be the right word, but pursue careers outside of academia. I think a big challenge is, well, who's going to write these letters of rec for you, or letters of reference? And if you've not expanded your network beyond your research group, it might be really hard, because that doesn't mean maybe your current faculty mentor couldn't write a letter, but like, what are they going to say related to your involvement in career professional development, like, or your knowledge of planning events? Like, I mean, they might know or they might not know, but if you build a network of people you know, at your institution, you know, you've got people who can, you know, speak on your behalf. And I'm pretty sure, you know, Ashley Brady and Brett and Irene McCurgan at the postdoc office were the two references I put on there beyond my current or my supervisor at the time at Vanderbilt to talk with NC State. And so I think that's the other important thing to realize is getting involved beyond just your core group can be really helpful to get, you know, people who can be, you know, advocates for you when the time comes and references for you. And so it's never too early to start to like get involved in, you know, small ways just to start to build, you know, awareness beyond just what you do as a researcher. So, so I do owe a lot to you all. And I feel like it's currently a good fit for me and I'm making a difference and hopefully having an impact. And it's hard work a lot of the times. I don't know, maybe that's one reason why I enjoy it, because it's not easy to like, you know, support postdocs for a variety of reasons. But that challenge also, I think, motivates me, like knowing that there's lots to be done and lots we could do. And, you know, that gives me hope that like we can have an impact. And so I think that's another kind of big driver for me, is like trying to like improve sort of the experience even beyond just my institution. And so like, how do we, you know, have national conversations around some of these things?
This interview was recorded here in the Office of Career Development at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, Office of Biomedical Research, Education, and Training. This series was initially made possible by a BEST Award from the National Institutes of Health to Roger Chalkley, Kathy Gould, and Kim Petrie. Thank you, and join us next time to explore what lies beyond the lab.